Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time. We're talking Russell Wilson and his contract with the Seattle Seahawks. They reached an agreement at midnight. And he'll be a Seahawk for some time now. And joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is friend of the show, covers the Hawks for ESPN.com, Brady Henderson. He's on Twitter, at Brady Henderson. Give him a follow. He's been a busy, busy guy, staying up till 2 a.m. after Russell Wilson and Sierra lay in bed together and announced to the world that they're super rich. Brady, thanks for taking some time, man. I know it's a busy day. I got people in my mentions on Twitter telling me this is a mistake. It's too much percentage of the cap. And my question to them is, what's your alternative? How do you feel about this deal with the Hawks side and Russell Wilson side?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. And, you know, like this is the going rate for elite quarterbacks. And this is, this is a good problem to have. Yes, that is a lot of money. And yes, that is going to take up a big percentage of your salary cap. It's certainly going to force them to maybe make some tougher decisions on some guys down the road that they may want to resign. It's also going to put pressure on them because of that to draft better and to make sure that they have those, you know, cost-controlled replacement guys that can take over for those guys that you do end up not paying. But again, you know, this is a good problem to have. The alternative is to not have a quarterback to pay. And, you know, the Seahawks have been there before. Go back to what it was like, what life was like before Russell Wilson, when you were, you know, pinning your hopes to guys like Charlie Whitehurst, guys like Tavares Jackson. You know, they took a look at Matt Flynn and brought him in the same year they ended up drafting Wilson. So this is the ultimate good problem to have. And, you know, for anybody who thinks the Seahawks are going to go into the tank because they're paying their quarterback this much money, you know, they paid Wilson in 2015 and they made the playoffs in, you know, three of the 4 years that he played under that deal. So, you know, my response to that notion would be, you know, what did Wilson say at the end of his video? He said, y'all need to go to bed. I would say, y'all need to go to bed with that notion that they're not going to win because they're paying Russell Wilson.
That's a great point. You know, and looking at this from the last, I don't know, month or two, like this has been such a wild story. And we've had you on to talk about it. But the rumors he wants out, Sierra wants to move to New York, and then the deadline comes, and then Peter King reports this weekend that if you don't get a deal, he's never going to negotiate again. Like, what was your mindset just following this the entire time, and did it end up the way you thought it would last night?
Yeah, and you know, those were some of the same things that I had been hearing for a while now, and you know, I think it's the types of things that come out when you are dealing with a very high-profile negotiation for a very expensive contract. And, you know, not all of them are like this. Some of them aren't maybe as contentious, but, you know, this is sort of how things went the last time. And I do think that the way that situation dragged out the last time in 2015, you know, that's one reason why they wanted an earlier deadline this time, is just to not have the situation play out as long as it did. Remember last time it was the July 31st deadline. This time they moved it up to April 15th. Just to get it out of the way, just because that is a very stressful situation for all involved. And, you know, you just there are things like that that come out. And, you know, I won't speculate on where they came from or who they came from or the motivations. But that is just the type of thing that you deal with. And, you know, in terms of, I will say this, in terms of the, you know, the conversation about the percentage the average of the deal, the base salary is tied to, you know, whatever percentage of the cap. I don't doubt that was a consideration. I actually believe that was a consideration at some point on his side, just because, you know, when you look at his last deal in 2015, he was very quickly passed up several times over. He started at number two on the list in terms of average per year, right behind Aaron Rodgers. And over the 4 years, he fell all the way to 12. So I don't doubt that they wanted a deal that somehow was going to hold up a lot longer than his last one did. But, you know, it turns out this is a more conventional structure. And now that he's number one on that list, you know, that deal, that average, at least, that will hold up longer than it did the last time.
I think that's the crazy thing, Brady, is you're the highest paid till you're not the highest paid anymore. And in 2 years, he could be third, fourth, fifth on this list, depending on everybody's contracts and what comes up. And it's funny, everybody points to the top five paid quarterbacks and how much that's eating up the cap. Nobody talks about the 12th highest paid quarterback, where you mentioned Russell Wilson fell the last time he got this deal. We're talking with Brady Henderson of ESPN.com. They've got two other guys that they're dealing with contract stuff with. Bobby Wagner, who actually tweeted congratulations to Russell Wilson for getting paid, and Frank Clark, who we've long heard he's either going to get traded or tagged. Now that they've locked up this money with Russell, what do you think they do with those two individuals?
Yeah, you know, I think that they ideally they would extend both of those guys. And, you know, can you do it? Yes. And the question shouldn't be so much, you know, can you pay all three of those guys? Because, look, you very easily could. If you look at their financial landscape, you know, for the next few seasons, they have a lot of cap room. Now, partly is because they just don't have a ton of guys who are under contracts for a lot of money right now. It's a lot of younger players. But at any rate, you know, they could extend all three of those guys at contracts for, you know, at or near the top of the market. But the question isn't so much, can you do it? The question for the Seahawks would be, how much would you be willing to skimp elsewhere? And John Schneider, you know, was asked a similar question that you just asked me on the radio a couple weeks ago. He said, yeah, you can do it, but you'd have to compensate elsewhere. And by compensate, what he really means is skimp. And skimp is, that's what they had to do. You know, remember when they were paying all those guys in the secondary, you know, after they paid Wilson, it was Richard Sherman was the highest paid cornerback, Earl Thomas, the highest paid safety, Bobby Wagner, the highest paid middle linebacker, or he was right up there at least. You know, where did they skimp? Remember, it was the offensive line. The misperception at the time was that the Seahawks just don't really invest in their offensive line. The reality was, you know, they had to skimp somewhere because they were committing all that money elsewhere. So the offensive line was just the place that they happened to go cheap on. And so if you do end up paying all three of those guys, you're going to have to go cheap somewhere. So it's not so much a matter of can you, it's just a matter of how willing are you to you know, compensate elsewhere, as John Schneider said.
Right. Well, and last year for Seattle, too, was a year that, myself included, a lot of people thought would be a fall-off year. Then there they were in the playoffs, and some people argue with the better offensive coordinator, they probably should have beaten Dallas in that playoff game, and who knows what happens from there. Having some fun and looking forward, four-year extension, he's going to make a ton of money. Will the Seahawks and Russell Wilson win a Super Bowl over the next 4 years?
Well, boy, that's a good question. You know, I guess talk to me after, you know, this next draft, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, I feel like in their division, they are in, you know, they are in an okay spot there. You know, the bills are coming due now for the Rams. You know, that's what we talked about, the sort of freedom that the Seahawks enjoyed early in Russell Wilson's career while he was on that rookie contract. You know, the same thing allowed the Rams to make all those moves, all those big splash additions. Well, they're going to have to pay Jared Goff at some point, and they're not going to have that same freedom that they have had. So will they win a Super Bowl? Gosh, it's so hard to say. But, you know, they're with Wilson and with a pretty strong core around him, you know, I think they're going to be in the mix. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. They still have their GM, they have their quarterback, and they have their head coach, the three most important people in any NFL building. They have those guys you know, in unison there. So there's no reason why they shouldn't at least compete for that.
All right, Brady, I'll get you out of here on this one. You and me and anybody else screaming to the world, you have to pay your quarterback because it sucks to not have a quarterback. You can't change their mind. Their opinions are their opinions, and it doesn't matter. Do you think there's going to be some pressure, though, on Wilson, on the team, to maybe structure the offense a little more around him versus being run-oriented the way that they were? Because, again, back to that playoff game, I truly believe watching, if they would have given the ball in his hands versus running it, they would have fared a little better against Dallas. Do you think there's any pressure now with that money to maybe make it a little more Russell-centric versus going with the run first?
You know, I don't know if the money so much would create that pressure. I think, you know, maybe some of just the reality of what happened last year, you know, might change things a little bit. But, you know, I don't think that you're ever going to see the Seahawks turn into a, you know, significantly more of a passing team. And I say that, you know, for one, it's just not in Pete Carroll's DNA. As long as he's the head coach, you know, Pete Carroll at 67 years old is not going to change his stripes and say, yeah, let's start throwing the ball all over the yard. The other thing there, and a point that often people gloss over, you know, when sort of wringing their hands about how much the Seahawks did not throw the ball last year. Now, the reality is their offensive line was not really built to throw the ball. Russell Wilson took a career high in sacks, even though he attempted, I think, his fewest passes since 2013. So really, this is not an offensive line that was built to pass protect nearly as much as it was built to run block. So you know, with Pete Carroll being, you know, sort of the way he is, with that offensive line being the way it is, I just don't think you're going to see a big shift in their offensive identity, even though they're paying Wilson the money they're paying him now.
Yeah, Brady Henderson, ESPN.com. Go find his great work there. Give him a follow on Twitter for everything Seahawks related, at Brady Henderson. Dude, thanks so much for giving us some time down here in Portland. Money, as always, good insight and good information. We'd love to catch up with you maybe this summer.
All right, you bet, fellas. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.